Ugochukwu Aronu, CEO and co-founder of Send Finance, grew up in a time when working in an oil company or a bank was perceived as the fastest way to become wealthy. But after seeing the industry some of the wealthiest people in the world play in, he knew that tech was the way to the kind of money he wanted.
For me, I was really interested in making money. To be honest, I really was interested in making money. I didn't care about any other thing. But also, while I was in school, I realized that the oil company was really booming. And in year 2000 and maybe between 2000 and 2015, you realize that people that had a lot of money then were the oil company guys. I now saw the news on TV about Shell selling their assets, I think what about $5 billion and all that. And I said to myself, wait, when I got to the office, I told one of my colleagues, and he was a senior colleague at the time. I told him that stuff. I told him that, man, I think I saw this news. What does he think about the future of the oil industry? He told me he won't lie to me that he believes that IT, you know, tech will be the future.
And tech became the future. Today, 6 of the top 10 most valuable companies in the world are tech companies, with the $5.4 trillion industry expected to continue growing at a 5% compound annual growth rate. Ugochukwu Aronu needed a plan, but little did he know that his motivation to become a successful tech entrepreneur would come from the unlikeliest of places. This is the People in Emerging Tech podcast. My name is Bolu, and I'll be sharing stories of Africans doing amazing things with emerging technologies. Aronu was born in eastern Nigeria. His father was an accountant, while his mother was a medical doctor. By this, education was held in high regard in his family. But beyond schooling, his parents made sure he knew early in life the concept of work and how it was the path to getting what you want from life.
As kids, we used to even go to the farm, but not necessarily farming for survival per se. So my dad likes to farm, but mostly farming too. Okay. So he would always take us to his big farm and would farm, plant, cut grass, do a lot of all those kind of things. And he actually taught us how to be disciplined as well.
Although he didn't realize it then, farming was where Aronu started to build problem-solving skills.
I mean, going to the farm and all that, it really teaches you a lot where you have to navigate, where you have to navigate nature, cut grasses, plant things, go harvest them, process them. I mean, like, it requires a lot of, you know, physical energy exertion, right? And also involves a lot of mental, because when you now start facing problems with the crops, it's very difficult task.
Aronu's first contact with tech was in primary school, where they were allowed to move the computer mouse for a few seconds every week. It was exciting, but to Aronu, it was just another fun activity in school. But when his mother got a computer for them in 2004, computers started becoming more exciting to him. While the exposure to computers at this point was necessary, his fascination with computers was still more about gaming and other things computers could do. He went on to the university to study electrical engineering. Being the last of four boys, he had no shortage of footsteps to follow, and he decided to follow one of his brothers.
And when I got into secondary school, to be honest, I basically was moving to just finish the secondary school because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. When I got into university, I applied for electronics engineering because my immediate elder brother was doing electronics engineering. I basically didn't even know what. I just realized, okay, he's doing this stuff, so it will make sense because I always look up to him, and because he's also like very brilliant. I said, okay, let me just follow up and do this electronics stuff.
Aronu had no interest in tech whatsoever. And when he kept getting scholarships from different oil companies while in school, he was sure the only way to prosperity was through oil. To him, the fact that they gave him scholarships meant they made so much money and had enough to spare. And they did. While tech might be booming, the oil industry is still very profitable. In fact, the largest company in the world by market capitalization is Saudi Aramco, valued at $2.27 trillion. And Apple comes in second at $2.24 trillion. Aronu planned to either be an oil merchant or secure a good job in a top oil company. But an internship at KPMG in 2014 changed all that plan. He was the only one from a federal university to have gotten the KPMG internship in Nigeria. It allowed him to work with people from different parts of the world who showed him another world beyond oil and gas. From MIT to private universities like Babcock, Aronu saw a different feel from what he was used to. He was told about hackathons and the powerful things people were building on computers in their little corner of the world. All that was left to seal the tech dream for Aronu was news that seemed like the oil and gas industry was in trouble. The news that oil giant Royal Dutch Shell was going to sell its assets struck him as though there was a problem in the oil industry. The global call for reducing carbon emissions has seen some oil companies finding ways to diversify energy sources. While the oil industry is booming, Aronu's fears could be justified. As many countries plan to reduce carbon emissions, the world could have less use for oil in years to come.
And I just killed the idea of the oil company stuff because I asked myself, what will happen maybe 5-10 years down the line? You wake up and oil is no longer the future. And I looked at the top 10 richest men in the world, and then I realized that, wow, like 7 of them were tech people.
Aronu concentrated on tech entirely. Thankfully, there were people at KPMG who could show him the ropes. His first opportunity to get immersed in tech came with a task he was assigned.
So I said, okay, fine. And at that time at KPMG, there was this stuff who were assigned, who were supposed to do, it's called vulnerability assessment and penetration testing. You know, it's more like hacking into systems. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take on these jobs. I'm going to take on that stuff seriously, and I'll learn it. And when I did, I was the only intern that actually worked with the senior team on some VAPT jobs, you know, in KPMG. And I was really good at it, right, at that time, because I had some, you know, programming knowledge and all that, and I could learn things, right? I was just not interested majorly in writing code.
After graduating at 21 years old, Aronu gave himself 10 years to develop a general interest in everything tech. Changing trajectory at 31 years old was not too late in case tech did not work out. Interestingly, it's been 7 years and Aronu is building reputable tech companies serving Africans and the world. Although his decision to get into tech was driven by money, the reason he stuck with tech went beyond money.
I said, no. I don't think the oil company is the place. Yeah, but that's the truth, right? It's not as if I was driven to this thing by maybe some sort of passion or whatever. No, it was not any passion or anything. It was just purely because initially I really just wanted to have money. But then when I now got into computing, into like focusing a lot on building stuff, my whole idea about getting into computing just changed. I realized at the time that money was not, like, it wasn't enough motivation to actually make me do what I really wanted to do. I realized that at that point, I mean, at the point where you're solving very hard problems, money doesn't cross your mind. So it was at that point I said to myself, look, there's so much value here that I really can't base my success on how much money I have or how much money I'm going to make.
From oil to tech to passion, the stages of Aronu's tech discovery are like a carefully prepared bespoke syllabus. His talent and love for solving problems is one that Africa should not miss. He believed Africa wasn't contributing enough to the global tech ecosystem, and that needed to change. Aronu isn't just all tech. He's also a savvy businessman, a trait he got from trying to sell software to several schools in Lagos. While he was never successful at selling his software, his confidence level was boosted and he was ready to take on Africa's tech ecosystem. He also got another confidence boost when a budgeting app he built for a Google competition came third. After graduation, he worked at a tech consulting firm. Although he was only paid 25,000 naira a month, he worked hard at the job to learn enough about tech.
I'll leave my family house then around 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. get to the office before 7. I'll pick up the cleaners on the road. I really didn't care. Then work closes by 5. But I always leave the office maybe around 9-10 p.m. I was doing that every day. My mom would always complain. I was like, are you the owner of this office? Why are you always coming back late?
He didn't mind. His passion for tech had kicked in and there was no going back. Working out was an activity that helped him focus, and his small salary helped him get dumbbells. Eventually, Haruna started his tech consulting firm in Enugu, Nigeria. He started the company from his room with two co-founders. The five-year-old firm still exists today and just got contracted by a Nigerian bank to overhaul its entire tech infrastructure. Next was an e-commerce company in Enugu, which Haruna said was built because he and his employees desired food delivery services in Enugu where there were none. But the companies he was really known for came later with the discovery of blockchain technology. When a friend in Ireland reached out to Haruna and told him about blockchain technology, he was hooked. After studying the technology for some time, he created his wallet system, which is still used for many of the companies he has started today. The discovery of blockchain led to the creation of Send Finance, a system that helped people save with crypto stablecoins as a way of hedging against inflation. Before creating Send Finance, he already had the idea for another company, Ycrypt, but he wasn't doing much about it until a school in the UK heard about it. His friend who was doing his master's in the UK needed a project to present, and Haruna handed him the Ycrypt idea.
So I went to the place, I wrote that thing down on paper. I took a picture of the thing and sent it to him. He was like, okay, he did a presentation on it, like as an idea. They were like, what, that, who wrote that, where did this idea come from? He told them that it was his friend in Nigeria. The school actually called me. I had a conversation with them, like they called me on a video call. They told me that they've never seen this idea before and I should try my best to build it immediately.
The idea was born out of Haruna's need for fast internet. Ycrypt allowed anyone to share their internet connection and get paid for it. He even got a 200 million naira offer for the company, but the offer only strengthened his belief in the company.
Is there any way we can build a service that can allow me to connect to anybody's internet, but then I'll be paying the person in real time?
Blockchain was also built into the Ycrypt network, making it a decentralized mobile internet sharing monetization network. Blockchain has been a thrilling ride for Haruna, and he believes the tech is not as complicated as people make it out to be. In short, understanding and building out anything depends on the willingness of the builder to sacrifice what is necessary.
So people need to read articles, they need to read books, they need to be able to understand what the blockchain is and to now see where they can apply themselves.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share. I'd also like to know what you feel about it. Please send your comments and feedback to bolu@techpoint.africa.